Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Part of the JC Hawks Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news about the Tennessee Thunder and the USWFL.
And welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Glad to be back on here this week. Glad the weather's a little bit better here in the great state of Tennessee. We go from -1 last week to like 61 this week, so definitely a lot better. Tonight, you know, we've been having the teams on that joined the USWFL, a couple team owners and coaches along the way, every Tuesday night. Tonight we got Miss Jackie from the Cincinnati Sizzle join us, and Michael from the Detroit Prowl. They will be joining us here in a little bit, talk about their teams, talk about where they're at, and just a little bit about their team. You know, all the help and publicity you can get for these teams is major as far as I'm concerned, because the Thunder's won. I was just telling Miss JC there, the Thunder's won 3 championships, and there's still loads and loads of people that have no idea who or where we are right here. Same way with women's football all across the country. You know, I know who the best teams are, but I guarantee you, most people don't even have a clue who they are, don't even know what states they're from or anything else. So, you know, I try to help these teams as much as we can, get a little publicity along the way, help them out, help their teams out. When the season starts, we'll have a player of the week in each division, and I hope to have each one of those players on the following week after they play. So it'll be a great opportunity for players to come on to represent their teams. We always post a link, and I send it to these teams so your team can get on there and follow the conversation, follow the player and her interview and how all that goes. And, you know, just figure out a little bit of where your team's at. And like I say, the publicity that you're getting. I know, I don't know now, but I know used to we was in a bunch of countries and stuff with this thing, and there was a lot of followers at the time, and I've had several people from Canada on before, and California, and I forget, Switzerland or something. I mean, just a little bit, you know, all over the place. So, you know, every little bit helps with women's football that we can get, which leads me into my soapbox, my rant or whatever. Good friend of mine that's really helped me out through all these hard times that I've had the last few months. His name's Terry Young. He's head wrestling coach for Morristown West. And about every day or every other day, me and him talk. And he likes talking to me because he knows he's like talking, looking in the mirror. We're the same. And our motto is, and what are you? As a player, as any coaches as well, owners, coaches, players, whatever, what are you doing for your team? Are you doing the most you can to help your team? Are you doing every single thing, each one of you? I'm talking about each individual. I'm talking about every player, coach, whatever, helper there is on, I'll pick on the Thunder team. Are you doing every single thing you can to help your team and make them better? And I'm going to answer for you, and that is no. I already know. So I don't know about them other teams. I'll let their coaches and all that answer that. But when you're not, you're not only – and here's the thing. Here's the difference between Terry's situation and our situation in football. In wrestling, it's a team thing. But you don't have to have a team to go. Like next weekend, they're having a wrestling tournament in Bristol, and it's not even a team event. Now, most of his participants will go and compete, but it's an individual thing. You know, that there's nothing like that in football. I mean, it's a team deal. Now, they do have team stuff, like if they don't have a wrestler that makes weight or can't wrestle in that class, then they have to forfeit, and that's a certain amount of points, and it goes against your team. But you could have two-thirds of your wrestlers that you have wrestling win and still lose the team depending on how many forfeits you have. So it's a little bit different situation. But the idea is the same. How much work are you putting in? What are you doing to make yourself better? What are you doing to make your team better? And if you're not doing every single thing you can, I know I'm probably going to hear it from all the girls on the Thunder team, and that's fine. I'm ready for it. But the thing is, if you're not, then you're cheating yourself. And I know first thing you're going to say is, I got this and I got that. I get it. Hey, I get it. For years, I've drove a truck over the road for years. And since 2015, I've missed one practice, one. And that was a big mistake I made on a camper I was supposed to deliver. Took it to the wrong place, and I had to take it. No ifs, ands, or buts. I missed one practice. So I get it. I know things happen and all. But listen, when you're in a team sport, it's about the team. And football is the ultimate team sport. It takes more players to participate than any other sport. You know, you got a certain amount of players. I mean, like the NFL, they don't have anybody that goes both ways. They do have some people that cross over from offense to maybe special teams here and there, defense, same way. But every team that walks on the field, every defense, offense, or whatever, it's a different set of 11 players. So my thing is if you're not doing every single thing you can, and I'm talking about coaches, players, helpers, owners, whoever, if you're not doing every single thing you can, you're hurting your team, you know. And so, but the main thing is it's the players that we're harping on. How many players out there, I don't care what team you're on, and, you know, I guarantee I could talk to every owner of every football team, the women's football team in the country. And I dare say that they could tell me on one hand how many players they have make every single practice. There may be more. I could be wrong. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. There's no way you're going to tell me that you're doing everything you can for your team. When you miss, you miss. I mean, there's no way. You know, I've had girls over the years, hey, I won't be there. I've got this, that, and other. Maybe we can make it up. I say, well, you just tell me this. How are we going to make up a team practice? Maybe we can get together and work out, make it up. Okay, first of all, that means I have to make another date just because you chose not to be there. Second of all, how am I going to get everybody there that was at the team practice to go through and do every single thing we need? There's no way you can. How many of them think like that? And I know I'm on a deep soapbox here, and I get on it for a while, and me and Terry been talking and stewing on it, and I agree. Here we're 1 week away from this Saturday of getting into hardcore practice from here on. I mean, it, you know, spring gets here, it'll be time to play football game, girls, guys, whoever you are out there. And if you're not ready, you're going to get that ass beat. And I don't like getting beat. I'll just tell you right now, you're listening to one of the people that hate to get beat worse than anything in this world. And especially because I can't get people prepared, or I can't get people to buy in and do everything in their power to be there. I'll tell you right now, I hate to lose more than I like to win, and I love to win. So, you know, I don't care what the excuse is. I don't care what the reason is. I'm just saying there's always something that comes up, because here's the thing that I found. And, you know, these people coming on tonight, if they want to touch on it, they can. I don't think they probably will, but that's fine. But here's what I found out. you miss practice for a good reason. Something comes up and you really can't be there. Okay. But then what happens if, well, this come up, you know, then something else come up. And before you know it, you don't just miss one practice. You end up missing three or four practices. So, but then you're going to expect a lot of playing time because you may be better than some of these people that's fighting for the same position. And you're going to be expecting to play because you're better. What have you did to make your team better? What have you did to make yourself better? What have you did to convince the coach that you belong in that position? You know, I'm all ears, folks. I'll tell you right now. It's a deep subject. You know, I guarantee we could get people out there after call after call after call. The bottom line is it's not up to me. It's up to each individual. Nobody's getting paid here. We all agree. Well, some people might be. But we're not getting paid. I'm sure not getting paid. And the players I coach are not getting paid. But at some point, you got to say, hey, I've got a sense of pride for myself. That no matter what, I'm in. And from January to July, I'm in. You know, that's my motto. I mean, I've been in since 2015. From however long, I've missed one practice. And that's no excuse. I shouldn't have missed it. I'm not saying I should have. I'm just telling you, it was on me. I made a big mistake in trucking and pulled a trailer all the way from Indiana to South Carolina that went to Utah. It cost me tons of money, and then it also cost me missing a practice. But, hey, I had to do it. But you know what? I haven't missed any more. And I always schedule, even when I drove a truck over the road, Reno every other week, all this stuff, California, all that, I always make sure to schedule my trips when I can be back for practice and all that. I'm big on practice. I'll tell you right now. One of the greatest calf ropers in the world made the statement, if you like to win, you better love to practice. Just think of that, folks. If you like to win, you better love to practice. You know, it's just what we talked a little bit about last week, I guess, is what are you doing when the lights ain't on? You know, everybody wants to shine when they see game day comes and the cameras are rolling and that film and all that. What are you doing when they're not rolling? What are you doing behind the scenes? What are you doing to make yourself better, to make your team better? All that stuff. Somebody, you know, I'd love to know because I sure don't know the answer. But I'm pushing hard. I'm telling you, I want these teams to be successful in this league. I hope that some of these players, it gets to you. I hope this gets to you deep. I hope it reaches to you, and I hope you're mad about it because I'm mad about it. I'll tell you right now I'm mad about it, and I'm going to be mad about it. You know, but why are you mad, Coach? Why? Well, really? Just look around, you know. How do you practice if your quarterback's not there? How do you practice if you're – starting center don't show up, or your wide receivers, or I mean, how do you put in game plans? How do you prepare when you know you're filling in for spots? You know, how many coaches? You know, it's just like one of the people joined me tonight. We had a long conversation. You know, like the days of me playing this position are over. You know, at practice. So, girls, take upon yourself. Do what's need to do for your team and make yourself better, man. Make women's football better. Make it, you know, when I think of all this, I look at it just like this, is if you don't practice well, you're sure not going to play well. And if you don't come to practice, that means you're probably not going to perform well because you're not going to know everything, especially on offense. Defense, the reaction kind of thing, it's a little bit different. But if you're an offensive player, everything has to gel. I mean, you know, they kept talking about Tom Brady, how great he is, how great he is. How many open throws did he make? Bunch. You know, and those guys practice all the time. Just think if they didn't, what it would be like. if you're going to play and you're going to be on these teams, do what's right. You know, what led me to this is I know several guys that have lots and lots of money, and everybody's all the time like, hey, coach, can't you get these guys to help out? And I'm like, you know what? I probably could. But here's the scenario, that we go to play a game this week and half the players don't show up, or I've got this to do, or I've got that to do, and now we put a half-assed team on the field, or the other team don't show up, or they come with a half-assed team, and there we are, everything looks terrible, and there I have built these teams up, told these guys all about women's football, looking to draw a big sponsor from these guys, and they get there, and it looks like a circus. You know, it looks like a bunch of clowns running around. What am I going to tell these guys? I mean, how can I look them in the face from there on? So, you know what? I've not ever burnt those bridges. I mean, there's still an opportunity for it at some time, and, you know, I'd like to see them help women's football as a whole. But until we can get it better, until we can put a great product on the field week in and week out, I can't try to involve these guys. And that all happens within each organization doing what they can and with their players doing what they can. Everybody does what they're supposed to do and what all they can, give all that you can do. And it will get there, hopefully. And that's what it's going to take. So who knows? Maybe, you know, like I said, I reach a few people and it'll set a fire under them, make them mad and all that stuff. That's sort of what I do. So I guess, Miss Jackie, you'll be calling in here about any time, excuse me, and we'll talk to her. She's with the Cincinnati Sizzle. Glad to have them back in the league this year. I know they was in the league when we started the Thunder team. One of the away games we had to go play was in Cincinnati. It was the hottest game I believe I've ever a part of. We played at a really, really nice place, and the turf field was like 120-some, and thankfully it was a super nice place, and the locker rooms was air-conditioned. We didn't take but about 13 players, and man, I'm going to tell you, it was hot. It was really, really hot. We got rejuvenated because of those air conditioner, or it would have been really bad, because like I said, we didn't take 13 players, and one of our better players tore Achilles early in the second quarter. Like I said, I remember it like it's yesterday. We had a girl having back spasms. It was just in and out. You know, I'm going to tell you, it's tough when you don't have those players, and we, like I said, we were really thankful that they had a jam-up place to play. And those locker rooms was air conditioned, because it got really, really hot down there on that field. They also, I remember, they had a really, really good trainer. You know, that's one thing I see, too, across women's football is, you know, it's hard. I know, like around here, it's really hard to get a good trainer. It's hard to get a trainer, period, you know. So I remember them having a really, really good trainer up there that day as well. And I don't know if she's still around now or what, but I know at that time they had a really, really good trainer. And she come over and checked out several of our players, and was super nice. I mean, really knew what was going on. Even come to our locker room before the game to do some taping and things of that nature. And I know one thing, way back then, that was in 2015, and I sure really appreciated it, you know. And it was, you know, it's sort of an unheard of thing now is, you know, most of these teams don't even intertwine with each other at all. You know, I seen last year I was watching the WNFC, I don't know what game it was, but seen two coaches had to go to the field, and I don't know, it may have been overtime something issue, but they had to go out there with the refs anyway, and the refs told them to shake hands, and they just sort of, I don't remember if they shook hands or not, they just sort of just nodded at one another. And I told Jennifer, I said, woo, it must be some bad blood there, you know, and I don't know what it was. I don't even know the guy's name. But that's sort of what I see going on a lot. And I hope that, you know, I tell these, you know, people, and even when we have conversations with on the about conference calls within the league, I'm telling them, hey, we need to, you know, try to help each other and get along as much as we can, because that's all we got. You know, I know you want to win. You better want to win, because if I'm part of a coaching staff and I come to play you, you come to play me, I want to win. So you better want to win. That don't mean that, you know, we're not going to shake hands before the game, shake hands after the game or whatnot. But anyway, all right. Well, I think Miss Jackie's called in. Let's see if she's there. Hello, Jackie, you there?
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing good. Hey, I'm glad you called in, took the time to be with us on the fifth quarter here. Since these teams have joined the USWFL again, I try to have them on, talk a little bit about their team and talk a little bit about their organization, the stuff they got going on, try to help them out. And last week I had the Michigan Queens, they called in, bailed out, or sent a message, bailed out. But I had Miss Carmelisa from Huntsville Tigers on 2 weeks before that. I had RVA team, Tomahawks on, and the South Carolina Scorpions. Tonight we have you with Cincinnati Sizzle, and Michael with the Detroit Prowl. So I'm so glad to have you on. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about the Cincinnati Sizzle.
Well, I actually started playing back when the Sizzle originated back in 2003. And I think I stopped playing about 2015, because I actually kind of injured my back and that. But then we actually in 2016 we actually were in the USWFL and actually won the championship.
Yes, ma'am, I was there.
Yeah, yep. And then
So when the Thunder came to play the Cincinnati Sizzle in 2015, was you a part of that team or staff or organization at that time?
Yes, I was an offensive coach.
Oh, okay. Well, that was, I don't remember the name of the field or anything, but I'll tell you, that was a nice place. And I know it was really, really hot. And if the locker rooms hadn't have been air conditioned, I might have had a stroke.
Actually, we played at Walnut Hills, and actually, that's pretty much where our home field has been the last couple of years.
Right. Well, I know that in 2015, we played in what was then the USFL, and because of the – probably because of the reason you left, even after you won the championship in 2016, is exactly – why we didn't join in 2016. But then, finding out that all these other leagues are no better, in 2017, we rejoined the USWFL. And, you know, at that time, like I said, it was never my goal to even own a team, never my goal to coach a team or even to own a league. It just sort of, you know, it's one of those kind of things that just happened. And we were, and you know the personnel at the USFL at the time you were in it, half, two, three quarters of the way through the year, the championship's supposed to be in West Virginia. All we've heard is in West Virginia. And we go, the Thunder goes to West Virginia to play, and I talked to the coach after the game. I said, hey, man, is this where the championship's going to be? Because it was a really, really nice field at a park. It was a field like y'all play on. And he was like, man, there ain't going to be no championship up here. He said, I ain't heard from Mary Butler in forever. Said, I ain't signed for none of these fields, got no deposit on it or nothing. And at that time, we're about a month away from the championship, you know, maybe the playoffs. I mean, there wasn't much time. So forever, I tried to get a hold of Mary, and at this time, y'all had left and went to the WFA and finally get a hold of Mary. And naturally, it didn't go good. Me and her got in a big fuss, cuss fight, whatever. And like 2 days later, she calls me and says, "Hey, I just want to say you this league." And I, you know, younger than I am now and gung-ho, I said, "Well, I'll just take it because I wanted to see things through." And we did, and so on. But, you know, we built it back up where it's supposed to be, doing things right. Everybody, it's got a schedule. Everybody's schedule is matching, you know, like when we in 2017, and I'm sure you know all too well, we get ready to go play a game, and a team is supposed to come here and play hosting a game somewhere else, and the schedules never got straightened out. So I understand why, after even winning a championship, you leave.
Yeah, but it was fun, though. And then that's to me, that's the main thing is, you know, you can win and everything, but you got to have fun doing it.
Well, the thing I like most about this league is the competitiveness of it. The games are all mostly competitive. You know, I remember when the Thunder played you guys that it was a four-quarter game. You know what I'm saying? And you know, that's what I like to see. I like the competitiveness, the teams that are pretty evenly matched, and the you know, I like to see it come down to that. That's, you know, that's one thing that I have loved about this league. Now, that was even before I bought it.
Yeah, it sounds like you kind of get stuck like me. I kind of just fell into my lap, you know, owning the team and, you know, and that. And,
how did you get in part of the ownership or whatever? How did that take place?
Well, I've always been, like I said, we started in 2003, always been a part of it. I actually can say I'm the only one who had never missed a practice all the years, and even to this day, I've never missed a practice or an event by the Sizzle. And actually Icky Woods, who was our coach at the time when we first started, actually ended up selling the coach to another guy, the team to another guy. And then he ended up deciding he really didn't want any part of it anymore, and he pretty much just told me it was all mine. And I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah,
I mean, I've always been a part of it.
Right. Well, first of all, I want to commend you on never missing a practice or anything like that, because I was just rattled about that for 20 minutes before you came on, so. My hat's off to you for that. I really, really commend you on that. And I wish that everybody would take that seriousness approach about women's football. And if they did, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Tell me about your team. How are they looking, and what you're expecting from them this year?
We're looking pretty good. We'll be officially starting our official season practice in January, and that we've been still doing more recruiting and everything, and getting a lot more people who wanting to get more involved with it and everything. And so we've got a lot of new players, so it's gonna, you know, well, we're gonna see how they you know turn out to be, but you know, they right now they seem to be doing pretty good. You know, holding the ground and that, and we're just going to take one game at a time. And that's it.
Right.
So hopefully, hopefully we can come away with another championship.
Hey, right. Hey, I hear you. That's what everybody should have their eyes set on, and the goal should be. I know if you're like the, I don't know if you are or not, but, you know, the Thunder team, they lose, gain one, lose two, you know, and that, people always say, and, you know, it, even like when I talk to y'all about how many players you had, and some of these other teams and how many they had, and everybody said, oh, I got this many, I got this many. Come January, when that real practice starts, that's how many you can tell you got, you know, and that's another thing I talked about tonight, because the Thunder's going to start practicing January as well. They've been recruiting and just doing some workouts and the first one thing. Well, tell me this, if anybody would like to get a hold of somebody from the Cincinnati Sizzle or come to some games and watch or be a part of the organization, how can they get a hold of you?
Usually they can, we have a website that they, but it'll have, when all our games are and where they are and what times and everything. It's the Cincinnati Sizzle. It'll take you right to our website and that, or you could call, you know, call me, direct and that, and like I said, we normally, we have been playing at, Walnut Hills. Sometimes we have a conflict and we would have to go someplace else, but most of the schools around here are pretty good about working with us and that. I know last year we actually teamed up with the guys' team where we would do double headers. We would play a game and then they would play right after us.
Oh, that's cool.
And, yeah, so we've been working a lot with them and, you know, they've been, you know, helping us out and everything. And we've been doing right now we're doing a lot of fundraisers to get ready for, you know, for next year and, you know, the 2023 season.
Right. Well, I know one of y'all's really good, cool fundraisers is y'all work the home game for the Cincinnati Bengals, and they're back on a hot streak and back to the winning ways, so I'm sure everybody around there is real excited about that.
Oh, yeah, that's actually one of our biggest fundraisers. And that when, you know, because usually when they're winning, it means more people in there, more people spending a lot of money.
more people buying beer when they're winning, no doubt about
it. Oh, big time, big time. Yeah.
They're playing good and they're back to the winning ways. And now, do y'all get to work all through the playoffs and all that?
Yeah. Mhm.
Well, that's cool. They're going to at least host one game. I know that they're at least going to host a game. So I'm sure that'll be another big day for you. And that's cool. I'm glad y'all get to do that. I know some of the teams get to work these college games. And, you know, we've actually, the Thunder team, of course, the racetrack, the Bristol racetrack's about 7 miles from where we live. And we've actually worked that event a time or two. And that was a really good fundraiser for the team.
Yeah, we do you know, like I said, we do that. They've actually been asking us to do the, you know, the Reds games, and I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of like right in the middle of our season. You know, and it's kind of hard doing them. But we also do, like, the concerts that they have here. You know, when they actually this summer, they've got Taylor Swift going to be at the stadium. And so we're looking at our schedule to see if it's going to be a conflict or not. And if, you know, it all depends, you know, how many people we have, and, you know, we may be able to do both of them, you know, play the game and have half the team work the concert.
Right. Hey, that's a good scenario. I know that's a good fundraiser. Actually, we met Taylor Swift before she was Taylor Swift years ago. But, you know, it takes a lot of people to work those stadiums, doesn't it?
Yeah, we actually We actually had to have 10 people on our stand. So, you know, you got 8 home games and then, the, you know, the playoffs and everything. So, and you're talking about these people who have to come, you know, straight from work and, you know, or, and that's so it sometimes it makes it a little bit hard, especially this Monday night game. It's going to be really hard.
Yes. Yeah, the Thursday night games and first one. Yeah. Well, I'm glad y'all are a part of that and a good fundraiser. Glad you get to be a part of that. Hey, I'm also glad you're teaming up with those with the men's team and having those doubleheaders, because that's always really cool, because we've played a few places that did that. We've actually done it a time or two before. And there again, just like I said earlier, there's so many even of those guys that play, and their wives and family and all that don't even know women's football exists.
Right. Yeah, they've been helping us get the word out and everything, because usually when we practice, we actually practice with them a lot of times. And so they, you know.
Well, I'm glad. That really helps out, no doubt about it. Where y'all going to be playing? Is that where I was talking about we played a long time ago?
Yeah, that at the Walnut Hills High School. Yeah, that's what, you know, like I said, we normally try to get that first, and then hopefully there's no conflict in that, you know, because sometimes they have an event or something going on. And then we usually, maybe it's actually not too far from there is another high school in Woodward, which is pretty much about the same.
Right. Well, I remember that was a really nice place. And tell me, do you still have that great trainer on your staff, or did she move on somewhere else?
No, she actually is still with Beacon, and she's, she's been with us, but she actually just had 2 babies. She's had 2 little girls, so I think she's been taking a little time off.
Yeah, but I remember she was really, really good and really, really nice and really at that time helped us out. Like I said, we didn't bring too many players. And, we actually had one that was in concussion protocol, and she was really there watching her, and you know, finally, I don't know, after a certain amount of time, she came over to me and said, hey, she's cleared to play if she wants to, you know. And it was just, I know for me, coaching these women and going everywhere, and I don't have that kind of trainer. So, you know, it was a rarity for her to do what she did for the team, you know, the opposing team and all. And I was really impressed. And I've never forgotten.
I'll let her know that.
Well, I sure appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Jackie, you got anything else you want to say about your team before we get off? I will say this, and in case I forget, you can pass it along to your girls. Once we start playing games in each division, we will have a player of the week, and we will let, you know, the little board that we have going on, if it, you know, if enough people comes to a tie, we'll break the tie. But, you know, for the most part, usually have a player or so that stands out. And I like to have them on the show the following week to represent the teams and talk about the games and all that. So you can pass that along to your team as well.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, I've talked to the coaches and to the girl who co-owns the team with me. We've been talking about it and talked about possibly putting our little bid in to host the championship.
Right. Well, that's great. Yeah, get together. I know for sure that if you have it where we played before, you've sure got a facility to do it, because I've been there firsthand, and it was actually the nicest place, even when I played football, the nicest field I'd ever been to at that time. And to have the locker rooms that were really, really nice, and then they were really really air conditioned because it was hot that day. I was really impressed. So yeah, y'all definitely got a nice place to do it.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Good luck to you and your team this season. Hopefully we'll get to come and we got some off days. We'll get to come watch a game and be there to support the league. Hey, I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I hope to see you soon.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for coming on.
Uh-huh.
All right, folks. Miss Jackie Uecker, co-owner, coach, former player for the Cincinnati Sizzle. Sounds like they're excited about being in the league and what they got going on. I know they definitely got a nice place to play. Hey, man, they do a good fundraiser, great fundraiser to work the Bengals games. And, hey, Bengals might be the hottest team in the league right now. So it's a good deal for them. All right, she's gone. We got Michael lined up from the Detroit Prowl. Let's get him on here. How about you, Michael? You there?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, bud, how's it going, man? Hey, I appreciate you being on the fifth quarter tonight.
I'm looking forward to the questions and answering them, and looking forward to hanging out with you guys for a little while.
Hey, you bet. Well, first of all, Michael, I know about you, but these other people don't. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into women's football and about what the Detroit Prowl is all about and what you got going on there.
Well, I mean, just a real quick background. In fact, I'm literally in the next room for our owners/coaches meeting, and we're looking forward to creating a great team, something that's going to be competitive immediately, and hopefully change what the outlook of women's football is going to be in the city of Detroit and in the state of Michigan. The Detroit Prowl is kind of a stepchild of mine that a couple of players and I had talked about mid-August and put it together, and it's just been an amazing growth over the last 3.5 weeks, from naming a couple of owners to naming our head coach, Ken Fenton. Ken Fenton is one of the best coaches I've coached with in my life, and I've been all over the place. Kind of all started with the Detroit Danger and the Detroit Demolition. Went to a open tryout with a friend of mine. She wanted to make sure it was legitimate. She sure showed up and was upstairs and was watching the tryouts. And I simply opened my mouth like I have in the past and said, "These quarterbacks are going to kill themselves." Throwing. Guy standing next to me said, "Well, what do you know about it?" I said to him, "Well, I used to play and background in it and coach a little bit." And he goes, "Why don't you go down there and help him out?" Little did I know the guy was the owner of the football team at the time. So, open your mouth, insert foot, and then just jump, neck deep into the craziness. And
create yourself
fell in love
a job.
Yes. So, what was bad was I was on the radio at the time. So my shift, I did afternoon, so I was on from 2 to 7. I drove from Ann Arbor to the city of Detroit and was at practice 3 days a week. So off shift, on the coaching field, and fell in love with it immediately. And the team took off. It was I was very fortunate. Our head coach, Tony Blankenship at the time, put a squad together of coaches that he just let do. He let every position coach their positions up. And at one point in time, I had 6 quarterbacks in my row. Here we are trying to figure out who of the 6 is going to start and why. And that team just gelled. It just took off.
Right. Well, that's amazing, man. I mean, honestly, and sometimes that's just the way great things happen. It just happens. You know what I mean? It's not planned. It's just you're at the right place or at the wrong place at the right time, however you want to say it, and everything just happens. And ain't it great when it works out?
It was fantastic. You know, we ended up the team went 10-1 in the first year for the Detroit Danger, and then if you're a fan of women's football and you don't know about the Detroit Demolition, you might want to look them up. The team was unbelievably successful in the 6-year run that we had. We had lost through our four-peat championship. We were 43-1. You know, and then the following 2 years, we lost the championship game, and then came back and won it again. And the team itself just kind of propelled itself. And, you know, seeing how that worked and seeing how that was, and understanding how to build that type of franchise. That's what we're trying to do with the Detroit Prowl, is simply build a franchise that we can be proud of on and off the field. And that's what, you know, that's what we're striving for here with women's football in Detroit.
Right. Well, that's the approach everybody should be taking, in my opinion. You know, it ain't just you guys. It should be that approach all over. And, you know, and like I said, it's kind of what I rattled on for about the first 20 minutes. How, what are you, you know, as owners, coaches, players, what can you do to make your team better? Each individual has a responsibility.
Absolutely. But it just can't be just on the field. You know, you can be, you know, an 0-8 team and still be run correctly, and you just don't have the players you need. So then it's up to the coaching staff to start scouting and try to get things moving along. But you know, I look back on my history, and I see a team that, you know, at one point when we all retired was, you know, 77-7. That's not a horrible record at all for 9 years.
That's great. What are you talking about?
But,
hell, there ain't nobody in the country that's that
ready. But the turnaround is we also had four owners in 9 years. So they just couldn't put it together off the field. Had they put it together off the field with the results on, that was just the sweet spot. That would be the sweet spot. And that's hopefully what we're going to start hopefully bringing to the Detroit area again.
Right. Well, you know what my motto is, the off-the-field stuff is, what are you doing when the cameras ain't rolling? You know, that's the off-the-field stuff for me. Everybody can be in front of the camera, but what are you doing to help the team, help yourself, help everybody around you when nobody's watching?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the players are here tonight, the owners that are playing, and the head coach is behind me here in a little, in another room. And we just got done talking about, you know, about making the impact to the young girls, to young boys that have never seen women's football, young girls who only see flag football as a possibility. And that's great, but we want to give them an alternative. And, you know, a week and a half ago, we had our first appearance. We had our first appearance as a team, and we don't even have a team yet. You know, so you got to get out in the public. You got to make sure that people understand what your logo is and who you are and what you're all about.
Well, there was somebody asked me the other day, you know, they know about the league, and they're asking me about these teams, and, you know, and they're like, I know there's already a team in Michigan. And, well, tell me about this Detroit Prowls, what they said. And I was like, well, here's what I know. I don't know Michael at all. I've had several conversations with him. I know one of the co-owners. I met her for a week. But here's what I do know, and this is what I said, that Michael is an intelligent guy. He's been on a successful organization, but he understands what he wants, and he understands what he's going to get and what he wants to settle for, and he's really excited. When you put all those things together, It calculates the good things are going to happen.
We're hoping so. We're hoping that, you know, we put our best foot forward on the field, but even more importantly off. You know, building a community relationship is so huge. But also, you know, being a good competitor. And I don't want teams coming here. We're still in negotiations for our home field right now. But we want other teams to come to Detroit and we want to be good competitors. We want to be a good host. but we want to be a good competitor also, and, you know, and do things the right way.
Yeah, well, I think that's, you have to be, and I think that's real important. And I know this. Now, I don't know anything about this Michigan Queens. I've never seen them play, and I've had a few conversations with their owner, coach, and he seems to be doing a lot better job, and says they're a different team. I don't know anything about the other Detroit team within the WFA, but I do know this, that several years ago, some of the Detroit teams were there, didn't have a good name, and that meant from you going all the way, you know, to Detroit and not having a great experience. And, you know, I know just from talking to people, I can tell who's going to have a good experience when these teams roll in and who's not. And I don't have to worry about you guys at all.
Well, I'll tell you, we're looking at a couple of junior college places to play. We're looking at a D3 college to play at. We want the experience to be engaging. We don't want people to not see the city of Detroit. I was born and raised here. I'm an East Side guy, and I got to tell you, there is nothing more glamorous to me than being in the city of Detroit. People hear all of the horror stories, but I got news for you. This city is on the rise. It's been named to the best cities in America in a couple of different, you know, in a couple of different publications, and that's what we're trying to build on. We want to build on how this city can embrace us, can embrace an opponent, and show them a good time.
Well, I think we got horror stories in every city and state. You know, just that the bigger cities, you hear about them versus the smaller cities, you don't. And honestly, like I said, I ain't been in this as long as you, and I'm not trying to say that, but I've been in it a long time, and I've been around great organizations and really, really successful people in my life. And that's the things that are important to me and the things that are important to you are really important to them. And if these guys are successful and you've been successful and I've been successful, we can't all be wrong.
No, that's the grace of being given that opportunity. And the worst thing you can do is to be given that opportunity and you to squander it, either coaching wise or organizational wise, and not be able to at least try to give that back to the next generation. And that's kind of where this is going with us. You know, I've been embraced by our former team, the Detroit Demolition. I've had more requests to come help from the Demolition than I have from people that I work with or that I've been around. They want to be a part of growing this sport and making it viable again.
Well, I love that. You know, I really appreciate that from these players, former players and stuff, because too much of it goes unnoticed. That, you know, there still is players out there like that want to help and want to see women's football grow and be successful as a whole. And that's what, you know, in the end, I understand each owner, coaches and all that have a team they have to represent. But if you're not helping these other teams win, and you can at any point in time, before long, you can run out of people to play.
Exactly. Exactly. I have, you know, a former offensive lineman for us was in, I believe we were in Columbus, and she broke her ankle, was never able to play again. I mean, it was a rough break. Yet she comes back out now, you know, 10, 12 years later, and she wants to be a major part of this. You know, her and her family are going to support us, and she's coming out. She don't want pay. She wants to pay this forward. to the next generation. And that's what's huge, is giving those players an opportunity to come back and to learn how to coach at a very, very high level, to learn how to teach at a very, very high level, and then learn how to expect a lot more out of your player that you got in the beginning of the season. You know, so by the end of the season, they're in the best shape ever, and your team is in the best shape ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Off the field.
Yes, I can appreciate that, because you just don't see that often. You know, it's so many times that most of the players that I've seen, I've seen a lot of players, and like I said, going to this with my wife Jennifer playing at AFE where Chantel played, and I went and helped coach and all that. Listen, there's so much of women's football that is so much about me. Is another reason why we can't get out of our own way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mr. Johnson, you seem to understand that is exactly what the Detroit Pride was trying to stay away from. We are going to have a we, not me mentality. You know, the shortened version of Detroit is DET. So we're going to have that on our shirts. Discipline, effort, toughness. Discipline, effort, toughness. DET. We,
well,
not me.
I love it. I'm just saying that's, you know, been the downfall of what I've seen. As hard as I try, and as hard as you try, and that's all we can do is try and hope to get enough positive people along the way to jump on board, no matter whether it be your team or other teams in the leagues or other teams around the country. I say it every single week, man. We're all in this together. We might be on different teams. We might be in different leagues. But when there's a women's football game going on, we are representing women's football. It doesn't matter where you are, who you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's going to be part of our player contract that people will be signing. In fact, January 7th is our combine, and they're all going to sign up right then and there. And part of it is going to be the community service part of this. You've got to be able to represent the team and the league, but yourself in a professional manner. And that means social media. That means going out and helping the community, appearances, and fundraisers. Man, I don't have deep pockets like that, bro. I don't know if you do, but I do not. And there's going to have to be fundraisers. They're going to have to come out and help out, and sponsors that we're going to have to go to appear. You know, if they want us to come to their office and meet and greet and sign autographs at 8 o'clock on Thursday afternoon or 8 o'clock Thursday morning, and they're going to host us, we're going to be there signing autographs. That's part of the community part of this that women's football needs, you know?
Absolutely. I most certainly don't have deep pockets, let me tell you. What pockets I did now because of women's football. But I'm gonna tell you, hey, man, one of the main things I did like, and I do like about the AFE that the Dale Gossinger and his wife do, is they are big on no matter where, you know, they're going to Brazil in March. They went to Mexico, which Chantel was on that trip. Jennifer was on that trip. And they went to these children's hospitals. They do all kinds of charity work and the community and stuff. And you know, they make sure that everybody participates. I mean, you know, it's like me. I was in Florida. I was sick and didn't even really – I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know. And I felt bad. You know, I told other people, I said, you know, I probably could have got out of this. But I didn't, and they want everybody to go. You know what I mean? So
absolutely,
they are big on that. And I love it. You know what? The if you're the best player or you're the worst player, you're there participating.
Yeah, but here's the thing: you may be the best, you may be the worst. But the thing of it is that you are a player. And that's what these people who these little kids who are looking up at you, they don't separate that. They just know that you're a player for the Detroit Prowl, and they're going to love you and follow you no matter what.
Absolutely. They don't know who's who. That's my whole point. And is the kids, they only know that you're there for that team and who you're there, and it doesn't matter. And to, you know, I'm sure to you guys and to the AFE people, it doesn't matter who you are to them either. And that's one thing I really, really like, and that's, you know, something that I don't see enough of these teams out here doing, because it's just not important to them.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge mistake on their part. Listen, I can't run everybody's football teams, but I can only run ours as well as we can. And I know, look, that first appearance we had at a buddy of mine's card show, the guy was a former wrestling promoter, okay? So he put the word out to his 4,000 or 5,000 followers on Facebook. We had 60 people show up for autographs for people they didn't even know. Now, it doesn't sound like much, but we're in a small town south of Detroit.
Right. No, that's huge. Well, I'll tell you something else I've noticed, too. Of course, you know I don't do social media and all that. We've talked about
yep.
it. But Jennifer tells me and shows me, y'all, I look like you've been signing some really good players up there.
We've been very, very fortunate. I'm going to tell you right now, two things happened. The first thing was that when I met with Chantel, and Chantel Shelton she was a star player, period. No matter where she was, she's a force to be reckoned with. Now, she's not going to lead the league in anything. But she's going to bust her butt, okay? So Chantel, as Jennifer knows, she's a force to be reckoned with. But more so, she's also a business person. So she and I were having a conversation, and it just kind of hit me. I said, you know what, Chantel? Allie and I were talking. Allie Gorsica is one of the other owners. She's the quarterback. And I simply said to her, Chantel, I'm going to ask you something. Why don't you come on and be an owner with us? And she stopped. I mean, now you know Chantel. It's not like she's quiet often. It's not
no.
Like she's a high-energy person. It shut her down. You know, she calls me, you know, 3, 4, 5 days later, and I'm thinking, oh, I must have really upset her or something. And she calls me back. She says, I'm in. I am absolutely in. I promise you that within 6 hours of her saying that, we had our first 3 veteran signings, okay?
Oh, wow.
Less than a week later, Ken Fenton, who is our head coach, and he and I have coached together 27 football seasons now, not 27 years. We've doubled and tripled seasons at times, okay, between varsity, JV, and then the women's leagues. I mean, we coach together. So there's a few
right.
times I'm up in the booth that what he's saying I'm not finishing, and what I'm saying he's not finishing. Few times, okay? So we announced him as a head coach, and then within a week of that, we had 15 coaches approach us about coaching, and we had 15 players come aboard. Signed sight unseen because of Chantel and because of Coach Fenton.
Wow.
So, listen, we're looking for 25 more players. We would love to be at 40, 45. We'd love to have, you know, people come out to our combine on January 7th. You know, if listeners want to punch it up on Facebook and check it out, just come on up. You know, you can watch what we're going to do.
Speaking of all that, how can anybody that wants to be a part of your team, whatever, just be a supporter, just come to the games, just whatever you need help doing, how can they get a hold of the team or anybody of that nature? Give us all your social media stuff.
Yeah, we're on Facebook at Detroit Prowl, okay, on Facebook. Just look us up, like the page, and follow along. You can go to our website at DetroitProwl.com. We've got a great IT guy. Greg is really starting to get things moving for us there. You know, and within the next week, we're going to have merchandise available. Just reach out. There's email addresses on each one of those pages on Facebook and on the website. Reach out. Just you know, email us. Let us know what you want to do. There's a phone number on there also. Let us know how you want to help. You want to sponsor the team? Let us know. You want us to come out and do autographs and meet the team? Just let us know. Ask. Contact us. We are willing to help whomever, whatever, wherever. You know, and you know, we're getting players from Toledo. Toledo isn't fielding a team this year, and I spoke to the former owners of Toledo just today again, and you know, some of their players want to get back into it. So we don't care where you're coming from. We don't care who you are. We don't care what level of experience you have, from rookies to 10, 12-year veterans. God knows we have a few of those already. You come on out. And if you're interested in playing, let us know. We'll get you a letter of intent and get you out to that combine. We are going to run this like an NFL combine. We're going to run it like an NFL team, top to bottom, stem to stern. You know, we have enough coaches that have enough championship experience that we feel we can teach women football. And even if you have bad habits, we can break them in a couple of days and get you to where you need to be to be at a high level of championship football.
Oh, I love it. You know, the main thing is, you know, so many other sports that if you're big or you're small, you know, you don't fit in. That's the greatest thing about football is there's a position on the football field for every size, every age girl.
You know, Dave, I got to tell you, I go back to the Detroit Demolition, and I say this all the time. At one point, we had a two-day tryout, and we had 325 women show up for the first day and 300 show up for the second day. We traveled a squad of 52 fully every week, and we had 72 on our roster. So, yes, there is a place and a position for every single person. Doesn't matter if you're the best player. Doesn't matter if you're the worst player. You are going to be a part of this team, and you're going to get this team better, and then you're going to get better.
Yes.
That's all we can ask.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So many so many people don't address that. You know, that's one of the very first things when if players contact me, and I, after talking to them a little bit through a message or on the phone, I can tell if they're interested or not. You know, one of the main things, and everybody laughs at me for doing it, one of the main things I ask them is, hey, well, how big are you? What's your size? And everybody's like, that's personal. I say, well, listen, as a coach, I need to know this stuff, because if they're a big person, they might think, well, I'm too big. Every team needs linemen, I'll guarantee you. Or they might think, well, I'm too little. If you can run or catch, everybody needs wide receivers. So that's one of the very first things I ask them, so I can assure them that they're somewhere on the football field that they can fit in.
All they need to do is turn on any football game on a Sunday afternoon or Saturday or Sunday and see the size of the college players and some of the sizes of the NFL players. I mean, you know, you get linemen that are 6'7", 345, and you got Tyreek Hill who's 5'7", 125. You know, that'll tell you everything you need to know about size, man. You will fit someplace on a football team.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Coach, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on tonight, talking about the team. Anything else you want to talk about before we get off here? Anything else?
No, man, looking forward to the competition this year. I think we got a great schedule, you know, with RVA and Cincinnati and the other Detroit team. Looking forward to playing all three of them, and looking forward to visiting some new areas and looking forward to showing some people around the city of Detroit for a while.
Absolutely. Well, one thing I want you to tell, be sure and tell your girls and stuff, is after the season starts, like I say, y'all are the sixth team I've had on this show. Next week we'll have Becky on from the Tennessee Thunder. But every week in each division there's going to be a player of the week. And the following week I like to have them on this show. That link I sent you today is – every week we'll get a new link, and they can the teams can get that link, and they can listen to their player that was voted by the other teams and stuff as player of the week, and they can come on and talk about their individual performance, their team, and all that stuff. So, you know, that's my favorite part of the show when we get into that, to talk to these players. So I'm sure everybody's going to have somebody represented, and it's always fun to have them on.
Well, we look forward to listening to it as a team. We'll just mass listen to it and hopefully get some of our players on there this year at some point in time.
You bet, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for your time. And I appreciate you joining the USWFL. It's going to be a great year.
Looking forward to it, Dave. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And remember, if you want information, DetroitProwl.com or meet us up on Facebook. We'd love to have you a part of it.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, folks. There you have it. That was Michael from the Detroit Prowl. Real excited guy, man. I wish everybody that I talked to was excited as him about their teams. I know several months ago he contacted me and Coach Mike Wallace, and we was on a conference call with him, and at the time he didn't even have a player. He's like, you know what, I'm going to start this. And he said, I'd like to join your league, but right now I ain't got no players. I'll get back to you. And a few weeks, maybe a month later, you know, I'm getting a message, hey, can you talk? I'm like, yeah. We get on there and have a great conversation. Here we are. They're rolling with great coaches, players. But you know what, man? They got the ownership. It trickles down. He's real excited. You know, I know Chantel Shelton. He talked about her and evidently what she means to a lot of these coaches and players and the women's football. You know, that's what it's about. It's just what I said earlier in the show. What are you doing for your team, whether you're an owner, coach, player, what? And I'll guarantee you, they're doing a lot, and I'm sure they're doing as much as they can. And I wish every team that I talk to could say the same. There is, you know, I know the RVA, her and Michael are two of the talking about Shebney at the RVA. When I talked to her, she's just like him. I mean, her motor runs, she's really excited. She's amped up. She I've never met her either, but I can tell she is going to do an amazing job at what she does because she is so excited. And listen, when you're excited and want to do a good job, you're going to do a good job. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you know, if your team, if you're listening out there and you want your team to be better, maybe you should take something from these two people, Michael from Detroit Proud, Shebney from the RVA Tomahawks. I'm telling you, those two are just like a left and a right for me. I could just listen to them all day talk about their teams and what they're doing for their organizations. And, you know, they've done got their fundraisers planned out. They got their trips planned out. They got their ideas of what they're going to do. Here's what they want to do. Here's how they want to approach it. Everything. Man, that makes me so proud that they're in the USWFL. You can't imagine. Getting people like that to me is really, really exciting. And I hope that, you know, everybody takes something from that. I mean, you don't have to run your organization just like that. I mean, you look at the NFL, they got 32 teams and none of them run the same. And none of them's records the same. They crown one champion every year. So, you know, but it's little things you can take from each one of them. Some people are just not that high strung. But I'm going to tell you something. They're excited, and I'll guarantee you that those are the kind of people that know doesn't slow them down. You know, somebody like me, I'm not a person to go out here and beat down doors or get sponsorships or ask people for the simple reason, what if they tell me no? I'll guarantee you, Michael and Shebney, I know don't slow them down at all. And, man, that makes me proud to have them in this league and what they're doing for their teams and those girls and women's football as a whole. And listen, what they're going to, you know, represent this league in. And like I said, every other team should step up the same. We heard Jackie talk earlier. Of course, Jackie's more of a laid-back person, but they got a plan for their team. They got a good fundraiser. They're getting things out there. They're working with the men's team. You know, that I'm glad they can. You know, Shebney and them, they have a men's team up there. I'm sure they're going to be working with their men's team as well. And, you know, I love that. It's too bad around here. We tried it, but they're just not serious enough around here. So, hey, man, I'm glad to hear it. Really want to thank Jackie and Michael for coming on tonight, representing our team on the fifth quarter. Thank both of them for being in the USWFL and for what they stand for in women's football. You know, both of them been in it a lot longer than me, no doubt about it. I guarantee you they're no more excited than I am they might show it a little bit more than me, but they're no more excited than I am. And pleasure having people like that in the league. Before we get off here, one more thing. Listen, if I touched you tonight, pissed you off, made you mad, that probably means I'm talking to you. Do what you can for your team before the game starts, at practice, during the week between practices. Anything you can help another teammate with. You know, it's not all, you're all in it together. We're all in it together. Do what you can for your team, for your teammates, for your organization. I mean, it's like the Thunder. These girls have, you go around these teams and it costs these girls a fortune to play football. It's never really cost nobody nothing but uniform fees and stuff to play here, and that's because they take them with them. And, you know, that's saying a lot. So the organization has always did a lot for the players. Time to really step up and do more for your organization. That's just not for the Thunder. That's across the board. That's everybody. Do what you can for your team. I'm going to get off here and not rant anymore. I really want to thank JC Hawk Sports Network for giving me this great opportunity to talk about women's football and to have these great people on every week that are as excited as I am, because we need all the publicity we can get. I'm going to end with that. Till next week, we'll see you then.